Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
It's 7 p.m. Eastern time down here in South Texas. Weather's kind of nice. Weather's getting cold out there. We got some videos I've been watching here of, like, crashes happening in Utah and places like that where the snow has been pretty bad and cold weather and everything. And it's just people just driving too fast. You know, you get what you have to watch out for is you got to watch out for the slowing down of traffic. And you just kind of always have to be prepared for it. You know, it's one of those things. Happened to me last night where – you know, you're cruising down the road and everything's fine, and then there just stopped traffic up ahead. And, you know, that's why paying attention is important. That's why having, you know, plenty of following distance is important. That's why when you see other vehicles around you slowing down, you might well just back off too because something's going on, right? So that was one of the videos that got seen out here lately. It's just a big one of those big tankers. I mean, it looked like a Rocky Mountain double tanker. Everybody's slowing down, and here he comes passing on the right-hand side, going faster than everybody. Next thing you know, boom, slams to the back of another vehicle and overturns, and it ain't pretty. I mean, you can't hardly see it. There's a video of it. It's on CDLLife.com is where it's at. So it's just you never know, so you got to watch out for that. But that's what we're talking about here is the all things trucking and then some. And this is Redneckinize Radio Live. Give us a holler, 515-602-9731 is the phone to call in. Say your piece, what you got, and what's going on out there, what you got planned for the weekend. It's getting now where this weekend would be 2 weeks from Christmas. Am I doing it right? Looking at the calendar here. And, yeah. Because today's the 8th, so Saturday's the 10th, and then 14 days is the 24th. So, boom. So, yeah, just watch out for that. You got about another hard week of running this week, end of this week, and then next week, and then you probably start looking to get back home because that's where you need to be. Truckers, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? I remember going out there talking about, like, running during the holidays, because a lot of times it's a lot of times money can be made because everybody's pushing hard right up to the holiday. There might be a lot of freight this time of year or this year because of the inflation slowdown, all that. It might not be the best for freight markets. You know, you might have to find your niche somewhere. You never know. But the question is it worth it? Is it worth being gone from family and then making that little extra money, or is family time more important? You know, and that's the dilemma that a lot of truck drivers have. And that's where you got to think about is what is more important and what's going on through your head like that. So anyway, that's what we'll talk about. We'll talk about those things, talk about just what's going on out there and all things like that. So again, it's getting cold out there, and the weather's getting bad in some places. A lot of rain in the southeast. Down here, it's just overcast, and every now and then you'll get that drizzle, and it's that drizzle that's not, it's not hard enough to get the windshield wipers on full time, but it's not clear either. So we got to be careful with that stuff too. That causes problems. But anyway, check us out. Let us know, and don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're not on YouTube live tonight. Got a little issues with the software and everything, so we'll get that fixed up and get back on there. But like I said, check us out here. This is Blog Talk Radio. It's 515-602-9731 is the call-in number, and give us a holler. And don't forget to go check out our website, renekinize.com. A lot of great sponsors over there. One of the sponsors I like to mention, and that is Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. Those guys over there, the ones where you book freight and track freight. And also you can plan your route, your fuel stops, maintenance. There might even be, I know there's a Walmart. There might even be a hotel button to track down or whatever. And then, of course, there's parking and all that kind of stuff, you know. So it's an all-in-one app where you can go plan stuff and search for stuff and all that stuff for truck drivers. So check them out, Trucker Tools. You can download the app from the App Store on your phone. Or check them out, truckertools.com. We appreciate all their support of Redneck and Ice. So, that's pretty much all we got, right? So, yeah, like I said, give us a holler, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one, you can chime in. So, check us out, like I said, redneckandice.com. And don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And this is Redneck and Ice Radio. Let's have some fun.
Soon may the willowman come to bring the sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. She'd not been 2 weeks from shore when down on her a right whale bore. The captain called all hands and swore he'd take the whale in tow. Soon may the willowman come to bring the sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. Da 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 da. Before the boat had hit the water, the whale still came up and caught her. Hands to the side, harp and fought her when she dived down low. Soon may the willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. No line was cut, no whale was freed. The captain's mind was not of greed, and he belonged to the whaleman's creed. She took that ship in tow. Soon may the willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. Da 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 da. For 40 days or even more, the line went slack and tight once more. All boats were lost, there were only four, but still that whale did go. Soon may the willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. As far as affair, the fight's still on. The line's not cut and the whale's not gone. The willowman makes his regular call to encourage the captain, crew and all. Soon may the willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. Soon may the willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Loud thunder, heavy rain, thin line between joy and pain. It's a long, strange trip, it's all insane. You ain't never gonna be the same. Live life through the night, the line of a lightning strike. Sometimes the only light, when the moon is tucked away, piston's pumping, minds are racing. It's hard to sleep late when I'm shaking. That news surrounds me. It's always found me creeping up when things are good. Yeah, the dark days find a way. Loud thunder, heavy rain, thin line between joy and pain. It's a long, strange trip, it's all insane. You ain't never gonna be the same. Live life through the night, thin line of lightning strike. Sometimes the only light, when the moon is tucked away, the camera captures all the things that make us turn from what we see. It's always moving. It don't stop rolling. I haven't slept in 3 damn days. Yeah, but who needs that anyway? Wow. Thunder, heavy rain, thin line between joy and pain. It's a long, strange trip, it's all insane. You ain't never gonna be the same. Live life through the night, thin line of the lightning strike. It's sometimes the only light, when the moon is tucked away.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. Welcome back. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along. Don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel and check our website out, redneckandeyes.com. We appreciate everybody doing that. And we also got links to all of our other social media accounts on there, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and, of course, YouTube, and then Instagram. We also got links to all of our great sponsors over there, too. Another sponsor I like to mention, that's DPF Regeneration. You go check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Those guys over there, they're the ones that you, if you need to get your diesel particulate filter, you know, we got those DPF filters on those newer trucks now. And, well, actually, it's the older new trucks, right, that have the DPF filters that pretty much those are the ones that do the regen system. And then we got the new ones that do the DEF. And I don't even know too much about all that technology over there. But you know who does the DPF regeneration? They know about all that technology. So if you have a truck and you need to get it worked on and don't really know, you know, who to trust or what to do, because sometimes the dealerships, you know, you get over there and they say, oh, it'll be a couple of days before we can get to it, or we're a week behind or whatever. Or, and they do get to it, and they're like, well, that's not covered under warranty. It's going to be, you know, $2,000. And you're like, man, that don't seem to sound right. So get the folks over at DPF Regeneration a call. They actually have a good knowledge of, you know, who works on these trucks that and won't rob you blind, and knows what they're doing, and won't do the repair, charge you, and then a week later it goes bad again. So, like I said, check that out. DPFregeneration.com. Go check those guys out. And if you do have an older truck with the DPF filter on it, you just need it cleaned. Basically, if you just keep that clean, that's it's the improves the longevity of the system. So they're the ones that do that too. So check them out. DPFregeneration.com. Appreciate all their support at Redneck and Eyes. So I tell you what, scrolling through here, and NPR, you know, I always love it when the trucking industry makes the big, like, national circuit of whether it be some type of website or news organization like Fox News or CNN or, you know, NBC News or something like that. And this one here is NPR. Now, NPR, it's nationally known. You know, it's not like, you know, we're going to landline, right? This is an actual article that was in the NPR.org website. And it says that, and actually it's under their climate section, because it says truck makers lobby to weaken U.S. climate policies, report finds. And so when I first saw that, I assumed that what it means was is that the big manufacturers are going to say, hey, this is too expensive to make these trucks, so we need to lower the rules so we can make some good trucks out here. In the caption under the picture, it says the transportation sector, the transportation sector makes up 27% of the U.S. greenhouse gas emissions. On that percentage, medium and heavy duty trucks, everything from delivery vans to big rigs, make up 26%, according to an inventory of greenhouse gas emissions by the EPA. So the EPA already coming out against you, telling you, you know, hey, in the transportation world, well, in the world of greenhouse gases in the United States, 27% of it is all transportation. Well, all but 1% of that is from delivery vans and big rigs for the heavy trucks, the heavy-duty trucks, medium and heavy-duty. That's what they're saying. And that's according to the EPA. So already two strikes against you right there, right? So you think that the government or anybody over there on that crazy side of environmentalists or whatever are going to say, oh, yeah, go ahead. You know, whatever you need to do to sell more trucks. Yeah, right. The article starts out, it says, truck manufacturers and the industry trade group privately lobbied to weaken U.S. climate policies while publicly promoting zero-emission trucks. According to a new report from the think tank that tracks corporate influence on climate policy. Here's the other thing, too. So we might even be standing on common ground here, us truck drivers, with the, like, environmentalists, because we don't like the big companies either. You know, we don't like it. We don't like it that PACCAR bought out Peterbilt and Kenworth and made them all one. You know, we don't like it that you can't buy Ford big trucks no more. We don't like it. We liked when they were separate. We liked the GMC White before it became Volvo. Okay, when Volvo bought out GMC White, we're like, well, there's that. You know, what the hell? Who cares? You know, I mean, that's what we don't like that. So the big corporations getting into making trucks like they do, it's not fun at all. And now what you see is like Freightliner, Detroit Diesel, all that stuff got bought out by Daimler, the Chrysler organization, you know, years ago, you know, probably even before my time. But that's when you started seeing mass production of all of these big rigs going to these big, huge companies. And that was just the way it was going to happen. That's the way it works now, you know. I mean, that's who they cater to, those companies when they make trucks, they cater to that. So it says climate watchdog influence map found trade group, the Truck and Engine Manufacturer Association, EMA, and companies Volvo, Daimler Truck, Volkswagen, which is Navistar now, I guess, and PACCAR, oppose climate policy on the federal and the state level while publicly promoting zero-emission fleets. It says nationally, truck manufacturers lobbied against the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's requirements to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from heavy-duty truck models. The agency started phasing in new compliance and emission standards in 2011. It's now developing new greenhouse gas requirements for heavy-duty engines and trucks that would be applied to model years 2030 trucks. Says at the state level, the EMA led a lobbying campaign in several states to oppose the adoption of the Advanced Clean Truck Rule, which originated in California, of course, right? The rule gradually increases the percentage of electric truck sales over the coming years. California, New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington have adopted the ACT, which is the Advanced Clean Truck Rule. Which it looks like it's just promoting electric trucks is what the rule is, to force sales of electric trucks, which don't even work yet. I mean, we don't even, you know, hey, Tesla said we can go 500 miles. Whoop-dee-doo, right? The transportation sector makes up 27% of the U.S. greenhouse gas emissions. We said that already. Of that percentage, medium, heavy-duty trucks, everything from delivery vans to big rigs make up 26%, according to the inventory of greenhouse gas emissions by the EPA. We read that. In November, the U.S. signed a non-binding global agreement committing to 100% new zero emissions medium to heavy duty sales by 2040. Bam. Of course, it's non-binding, which means that, you know, who cares? You know, so it's politicians saying, look what I did, you know. And it doesn't mean anything because what you do is you sign these agreements with these other countries, and these other countries ain't going to live up to it, especially like India and China. They're not going to do anything because they're not, no. Influence Map, which is the think tank again, it says they found that while manufacturers privately oppose ambitious climate rules, they publicly promote zero emission fleets. The organization's report notes that the Ford Motor and General Motors disclosed less on climate policy than the other EMA truck makes analyzed. Well, it says less on climate policy than the other EMA truck makers analyzed. So Ford and General Motors say that they do more. I don't know. It says findings showed Ford and GM did not join the EMA lawsuit against the California Air Resources Board that would delay emissions from heavy-duty trucks. The two companies were the only ones analyzed in the RIP that did not join partners for the zero-emission vehicles. Get out of here. Partners for a zero-emission vehicle future. It says they did not join that. It says that's a coalition of truck manufacturers, retailers, and trucking associations that oppose what it calls a patchwork of state regulations for getting to zero emissions. It says the extent of lobbying, Influence Map analyst, I don't even know who that is. Okay, if you can pronounce her name, it's probably some kind of European name. It's Kalina Dimitriou. It's D-M-I-T, Mitro, with the D is probably silent. Well, she wrote in the report, based in part on previously unseen lobbying documents, including private emails and letters received through 33 public requests across 11 states. She also says that new lobbying was taking place, but the sheer scale and the extent of it was surprising. She says such an endeavor really appears to be a strategic and coordinated effort across multiple U.S. states. Influence Map's report identified the Truck and Engine Manufacturers Association in spearheading the lobbying efforts, especially on ACT rules. In an email, EMA President Jed Mandel wrote to a zero emissions future for the U.S. trucking industry, which is why manufacturers are investing billions of dollars developing groundbreaking zero emission technologies and commercial vehicles and working to ensure that federal and state regulations are workable and effective. I tell you what you do. You want to cut that emissions down, then you force Amazon to start buying electric vehicles. Cause I tell you what, Amazon vans are everywhere. Amazon trailers are everywhere. I mean, if you want to slow down the trucking industry, just shut Amazon down. It's just all over the place. Crazy. And they move all day, all night. You know, I mean, FedEx, nah, Amazon. You know, I mean, you just, you know, Amazon's probably, it's probably not technically a trucking company because it's Amazon, but Amazon, just boom, everywhere, up and down the highway, all day, all night. They got Amazon written on the trucks. I know it's probably not owned by Amazon. It's probably just like FedEx where the truck is owned and operated by somebody else. You're talking about these manufacturers, truck manufacturers doing that. The companies are buying them. I mean, you know, and they're the ones, people buying their stuff. You know, I mean, it all boils downhill. You know, you got truck manufacturers, they're making the trucks. Well, these guys are buying the trucks. Yeah, but these guys over here are buying the stuff that goes on the trucks. So everybody's at fault. You can't just blame somebody, you know, or want to put somebody out of business. As everybody's doing it. Nobody cares. Quit crying. It says truck manufacturers are responding to regulatory demands. Federal policy requires the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions from diesel vehicles. States that have adopted the ACT rule require manufacturers to build zero-emission trucks. It says what's unfortunate about this is that the state and federal policymakers really look to truck manufacturers as valued stakeholders with important input. Well, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? I don't understand. You know, that's kind of like not asking truck drivers what you think about the safety rules. I mean, this is bureaucrats right here. I mean, bureaucrats no longer work for the government. They now work for the think tanks that are trying to shut government or shut businesses down or whatever. I don't know. I mean, this person here, this is a senior advocate at the Natural Resources Defense Council, says that the report shows some truck manufacturers can't be trusted. The hypocrisy is, frankly, pretty outrageous. But, I mean, you're kind of forcing their hand, really, if you think about it. You're out there yelling at them, and everybody's doing it. You know, I mean, look at Amazon. Look how, you know, I mean, like, oh, we love Amazon. Amazon's doing great. They're creating jobs. Well, okay. They're not the best of jobs. They say that they're really good jobs. Some places are paying really good jobs, you know, or like you're saying, they're buying all the trucks. They've got the delivery vans out there, and you say that they're contributing a lot to the greenhouse gas. So Amazon's not doing that great of a job then, if that's the case. So everybody wants to go out there and wants to be like, you know, they do the commercials. Oh, we care. We care so much. They don't care. We know they don't care. You know, I mean, we see it. So don't even say that it's their fault that it can't be trusted. No, you're forcing their hand because you're telling them, hey, just like non-binding, the governments of the world are getting together, patting each other on the back, saying we're going to do zero emissions. It doesn't mean anything. You know, as soon as the next administration gets in there, they're going to tear that up. They don't care. You know, so then they says here, it says Bob, what is it, Ramarino is president of Roadstar Trucking in Hayward, California, and he wants to add electric trucks to his fleet for about 25 vehicles. He thinks the new regulations at the federal and state levels are challenging for truck makers to address at the same time. And if he's got the money, you know, and they work, hey, go buy those trucks and run them down the road. And tell me how they work. Tell me what's going on with that. How you doing? Self-driving trucks will probably be here before electric trucks will. Seems like that technology's advancing faster than the all electric. But yeah, I mean, this is here. It says Carlos Morales, who owns and operates a tractor trailer in Richmond, California. So stricter standards in the state could force him to leave the industry. He's been a part of it since 2003. Over the years, Morales has upgraded his vehicle and bought new ones to meet changing emission requirements. And eventually, yeah, I mean, it's just going to get too expensive. And the customers, shippers, they're not paying anymore for that. You know, it's kind of like, well, I got an electric vehicle, so I'm going to have to charge you three times as much as everybody else because my zero emissions, though. Come on now. Help a brother out. Let's go. And Morales has told him, he said, this is my last truck. He says, the laws are very strict and they really impact us. Morales says he's concerned he won't be able to buy an electric vehicle when the time comes. Well, yeah. So, yep. NPR sticking their head in there and, you know, bringing a tear to your eye. Hey, you need to feel sorry for us because we care about the climate, and these manufacturers, they don't really care that much, you know, but they say they do. I said, well, yeah, because you tell them, hey, do you care? Well, yeah, we care. And then you do a report and say, they don't care that much. I mean, then what are they going to do? That's what this is the whole thing with the whole, you know, trying to appease one side of the aisle or one side of the agenda. You know, just tell the truth and tell – you understand who your customer base is, okay? When you're a truck manufacturer and you go out there and say, we want zero emissions, okay, who are you talking to? Are you talking to the people that are buying your trucks, or are you talking to the people that are trying to create laws to shut you down? I mean, you see the oil and gas companies, you know, the Chevron, Texaco, I don't know, just Citgo, whatever you want to say about these oil and gas companies. I mean, a lot of them, when they get called to Congress, they get told, you know, they get the fingers shoved in their face. You know, why aren't you doing more? Why don't you? And they show them. They go, here, look, we don't make that much money. You know, it's just that we sell a lot. You know, the trucking industry should be doing the same thing. I don't know how much money, like, you know, Volvo and Daimler and Paccar make off of selling their trucks. You know, I mean, what's the ratio? You know, in the trucking industry, the ratio is really tight for hauling freight. Okay, it's really, really tight. Everybody said, well, they make millions of dollars. Yeah, Swift makes millions of dollars because they run millions of miles, right? But their operating ratio is not that good. If you were the CEO of T-Mobile or Verizon or whatever, which one they got on these days, your profit margin is right around 60%. Like, it only costs you 40 cents to make a dollar. Okay, in the trucking industry, it's anywhere between 85 and 90 cents to make a dollar. That's not good. I mean, that's why these companies aren't like, you know, the biggest companies in the world, because of that. And the only way, kind of like how Swift, and they've got these, they got stockholders and they've got CEOs and all this. The only way that they can keep making money is to keep growing. And they buy smaller companies and they buy smaller, you know, they keep acquiring equipment, you know, and all that. And you see what they did here lately. They had trucks that they couldn't sell. And then now the pandemic's over and the trucks are worth more. No, they started selling their trucks. They said, you know, we won't run them. We'll just sell them because they're worth more being sold. And that, I mean, that's what they get. They got money people. It's not trucking people running these companies. It's money people to say, how can we leverage that money? And it's about, you know, credit and who you owe and who you pay and all that. I mean, anybody out there right now know anybody, like if you used to work for Swift or if you were a vendor of some type, whether you ran a wrecker or a shop and you worked on Swift equipment, okay, I could tell you five people that I was dealing with through Swift, because I had a truck, you know, I was both. I was a company driver and an owner-operator, Lisa Swift. And during my time there, I encountered people. There were multiple people where they said, you know, I don't use, you know, you are a Swift driver. You pay me in cash. And of course, I'm like, well, I'll have to do it through them, because they pay the bill and then I pay them. And he's like, no, I ain't doing it that way, because Swift will get out of trying to pay. And it's not like they get out of trying to pay. It's just they'll delay it. You know, they push it back until one guy said he never got paid. He just gave up because he kept trying to, he kept calling. He said, if you don't keep calling, they'll never send you your money. He goes, and that's what they do. And these big companies, you know, I mean, everybody hated Donald Trump, right? Because he was finagling people out of money, and people come up and saying he never did pay. We never got paid. I was a contractor and I built one of his buildings, and he tried to get out of paying for me. I mean, that's what big companies do. They all do it, you know. And it's bad. It's not good. And we got to stop that. But you know, nobody knows, because it's not like a systemic problem. It's just that's what business does. And so if you're a smaller business and you get an opportunity to do something with a big business, you know, you get that money, you get paid, make sure they pay you. So, yeah, I mean, I was up in Iowa during the snowstorm and I got stuck, and the cop came by and I just got stuck. I mean, it wasn't like I was there for hours. I was there for like 2 minutes the cop is like, you know, move it. And he called the tow truck because, I mean, my trailer was – I was one of those going into a parking lot, and the trailer was hanging out in the street. So he called the wrecker. The wrecker came over there, and he pulled him out because the cop told him to. And then he's like, you know, you owe me money, but I need a comm check. I need to get paid. And so I said, oh, yeah, no problem. He said, well, you work for Swift, so it's a problem right now. I need to get paid. So I called Swift. I said, you know, hey, you need to pay these guys. And they're like, well, they're on the do not use list. Who called? Why did you call them like that? Because Swift had them on a blacklist to not be called. And I said, well, the cop called them. So they had to give him a comp check right then and there. I mean, that was back in the 90s. That was a long time ago. Yep. But let's see. But yeah, so that's NPR. talking about the truck makers. And it's these big corporations, and you know, we shouldn't feel sorry for any one of them. You know, I don't feel sorry for the EPA. The EPA don't buy trucks. The EPA doesn't run freight. I mean, they're trying to just make our lives difficult out here in the trucking industry. And, you know, it's not like we're trying to, you know, oh, maybe it is. You know, they got some backwoods boys. Black smoke don't mean it ain't broke, whatever, you know. But it's, I mean, it's the big cities, you know. I mean, I always said that the trucking industry can't be that much a pollutant, because if that was the case, then there would be a black smoke over Interstate 40 across the whole United States. Because you weren't talking about moving freight up and down the highway. You know, I mean, you see how many trucks are like at the Long Beach port, right, waiting to get, or even Virginia. Let's just say Virginia, same way. How many trucks are sitting there waiting? And I don't know how the deal works. But then you go to Memphis and just get on Interstate 40, crossing the bridge between Memphis and West Memphis, and look how many trucks are coming across that bridge. About the same amount that are going down there to Virginia, get picking up, and they say Virginia is polluted, or they say Long Beach is polluted. You know, maybe even Memphis might be polluted too, but you see the traffic. But it's not that much polluted, like over there on the on the east side of Memphis, between Memphis and Jackson. Truck traffic, crazy truck traffic, you know. Interstate 55 going up and down Arkansas and up and down Mississippi. Truck traffic. Interstate 45 in Texas, truck traffic. But it's some of the most beautiful country in the United States. So, you know, truck traffic, Iowa, Interstate 80. Once you leave Chicago and get on Interstate 80 and you go west, beautiful country out there. And you, if big trucks were that big of pollutants, then there should be black clouds all over the place out there. But it's not, you know. And those trucks are moving up and down the highway. Interstate 80, Iowa 80, in Walcott, Iowa, largest truck stop in the United States. You'd think, I mean, and let me tell you something. There's no idle restrictions in Iowa. And all those trucks sitting there, most of them are all running. So you would think there should be a big black cloud over that truck stop, you know, but there's not. So I don't know. I don't think trucks are doing that bad. I think that report, I always think that the EPA, especially because they're bureaucrats. I mean, everybody said, well, that they care about the climate. No, they don't. They care about their jobs, and they try to make their jobs seem more important. So then you say, well, who can we go after? Well, the trucking industry is a piece of cake. Nobody likes truckers. Nobody likes trucking. So, you know, and they say, you know, well, the report, according to our numbers, you guys are contributing more. Well, who says? You? And the scientists you pay? No, I don't believe it. But, hey, who knows? Let's see what we got here. A little bit left. We're tracking down, see what else is going deal here. And I was just thinking, you know, what else is going on, but I mean, there's still some stuff going on as far as charity work and all that stuff like that and everything. And you got a, like I said, with Christmas right around the corner, you got a lot of events happening. And check your local calendar for anything going on in your local neighborhoods. Down here in Corpus, there's a fish fry Saturday doing another Toys for Tots rally, trying to collect toys. And it's over here on the south side, right down the street. It's a friend of mine. It's the Biker Lives Matter doing it. So that ought to be pretty fun. And then there's next weekend on the 16th. Is that what I said? Let's get my calendar back out again. No, 17th. Saturday is the 17th, next weekend. And over here at the Corpus Christi Veterans Memorial, it's called the Coastal Bend Memorial Cemetery. It's the Veterans Memorial Cemetery. They're doing the Wreaths Across America wreath laying, and that'll be pretty fun. I've been there now twice, and it's pretty cool. You show up there, there's a lot of ROTC people show up. They do a little ceremony, say a prayer, give out some awards or whatever. And then it's kind of like everybody just breaks up, and there's piles of the wreaths laying, you know, in each section of the cemetery, and you just, everybody starts grabbing them, passing them out, and you lay one at each of the graves, and it's pretty awesome. It's a lot of, you know, you get together and shake some hands, meet some people, that kind of thing. So looking forward to it. And that's next Saturday here in Corpus Christi at the Veterans Memorial Cemetery. It's probably going on all month long, this weekend, next weekend, everything around the country. So check that out, Wreaths Across America. And they do it at every veteran cemetery, not just the one not just Arlington. It's every cemetery in the country it's a big, you know, funded deal. I had a friend of mine, he was a truck driver and a veteran. He wanted to get involved in that. He said, how could I help? And how could I be involved in it? And he had a truck, and he said, I'll haul the trailer. And what they do is they pick up Christmas wreaths up in Oregon or wherever they're made, and they take them to the different cemeteries. And, of course, a lot of them have the trailers that have been donated that has the logo and the Wreaths Across America and all that. Well, he said, let's take it. I want to take one, and I'll take it. And so they gave him the one going to Washington, D.C. He's like, all right. He's like, I got it. I'm here. I'm just doing it. And he gets to somewhere up like around Maryland, and they tell him, pull in here. And he says, okay, that's good. We'll take it from here. And then they had a Walmart truck take it the rest of the way. And the Walmart truck is the one that pulled into the cemetery and, you know, of course, got the picture on the news and everything. And he hauled the load all the way from Oregon to Maryland. And nobody knew he did that. So the Walmart said, no, we'll take it from here. Thank you. Thank you for doing all the hard work. And isn't that really how the trucking industry is? Is, you know, the big companies that they do, you know, just like we talk about the big, big corporations, you know, they make up less than 5% of the whole trucking industry. You know, these big multi-million-dollar corporations, with like, you know, 10,000 trucks and 5,000 trucks, you know, that's very, very small portion of the industry. You know, I mean, about what they say about 60%. So if you got like 3 million trucks on the road, it's like, a little less than 2 million of them are all owner operators that have less than 10 trucks. So, and as you know, it's kind of like, you know, what are we doing? You know, nobody knows we exist. You know, they see out there, they see the big names on the side of the truck or the side of the trailers, and they don't know. They don't know that. They don't know who you are. You know, so do what you can. You know, like I said, all we say at here at Redneck and I's is we got to be better. So you do your part to be better. You know, you're the ones not taking up the fuel island, you know, sitting there taking your 30-minute break or going inside and sitting down to eat, blocking the fuel island. You know, you're not the one doing that. You know, you're not the one taking up multiple parking spots. You're not the one parking out on the road when you where you shouldn't be. You know, you're not the one that's walking in there into the truck stop, not dressed appropriately. You know, or looking like some kind of bum that ain't took a shower in 3 weeks. You know, don't be part of that. You know, be part of the solution of making people proud that truck drivers are out there. And that's what we do here at Redneck and I's. It's all about take pride in yourself, and then have pride in others that how they see you, and do better. So that's what we do here at Redneck and I's. We appreciate everybody's support of that, and firing it up and doing everything. So, what else we got here? We got about 15 minutes left. Nothing else going on. We saw there's another article actually that came out. We talked about it earlier this week that there's a book that came out by a associate professor at Cornell University. Karen Levy wrote a book. It's called Data Driven, and it's talking about how the trucks, it's the technology of the trucking industry has really just hampered the truck drivers and drove a lot of truck drivers out of the industry. Well, doing more digging on what all this professor has done, and there's more stuff. There's some YouTube videos and some other interviews that Professor Levy has been involved in. So there's another one I saw where actually this got published today because the book just came out. Like I said, the book came out Tuesday. And Landline Magazine has an article now. They interviewed the professor. And so we'll dive into that and probably talk about that more tomorrow. I'm going to try to dive into a lot of this stuff, like the videos and all these articles and interviews, and then I'm definitely going to read the book. And then once I get all the information, I think that's the best time to talk to the author, the professor, about what all she knows and understands and insights on. And, you know, you don't want to just go into it blindly and then, you know, see what she thinks. So we might do that here in the next week or maybe sometime around the new year, maybe. Might be the best thing. But definitely going to read the book. The book might be, I don't even know how big the book is. I'm like saying, I want to read a book. And it's like, oh, no, it might be too big. Oh, man, my attention span won't last that long. Like I said, if it's audio, I can go down the road, right? I can't sit quietly and read a book. I have to be going down the road listening to it. That's the best way. So, yeah. But we'll see what happens with that. And I'm excited. Just because it might be something that I would support, you know. I really don't like it. I mean, like I said, I just want to be affirmed. I want people like the professor here in an academic like herself that says, you know what, truck drivers, you're not crazy. It sucks out there. There you go. That's what I want. So yeah. Anyway, redneckandeyes.com, that's where we're at. And another great sponsor that we have, and that's Load to Ride Transportation. And you can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. That's Load to Ride Transportation. They are a trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. Great, great bunch of people over there. They're always busy. And they're one of those, it's a kind of a small to medium outfit. I don't even think they have 100 trucks. They might have less than 100. I'm not real sure. We'll get more details on that. In fact, we need to reach out and talk to more people with Load to Ride because a great bunch of folks over there. And you can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. We appreciate all their support of Redneck and Eyes. We're starting off a new year, January, be 2023, and who knows? Who knows what might happen? So looking forward to it and to keeping the show going. And people, you know, it's one of those things where if you're sitting here wondering, you know, ain't not too many people call in. No, but it is available. Like I said, 515-602-9731. Not too many people call in, but people do listen. You know, they listen, they watch it on YouTube, and they listen, like, later on. Like, I can go in and I can see how many people have listened to the show off the air. Like, once it's over, people do go in and listen throughout the week, episodes during the weekend, overnight, whatever it is, in the morning, you know. So they see it, and so people see it. So we're so proud of that. And, you know, let's just keep growing and keep doing it and keep talking. You know, I don't want my voice shut down just because people don't seem to think it gets out there. It gets out there. We see it. And I enjoy it. If you don't feel like, if you feel stressed out there, call into the show, just vent, man, because this is what I do. I vent. It's pretty cool. But anyway, like I said, this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here every weekday, 5 p.m., or not 5 p.m., 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's 6 p.m. Texas time. And it's live for 1 hour, and then I'm off to work. So check us out. Like I said, at redneckandeyes.com, you'll find links to all of our sponsors and everything like that. So tomorrow we'll dive into the Landline Magazine interview with Professor Levy. And I might have some more insights because there's some videos and podcasts that I found, and I'm going to check those out, and I'll have more feedback on the professor and what all she investigates and knows. So look forward to that. So you guys check back tomorrow. It'll be 7 p.m. Friday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern time, right here, 515-602-9731. I'm hoping to have YouTube fixed and see how we can get that going. But like I said, just check it out, and we'll get it all going. But anyway, like I said, check it out here. And this is where it's at. So anyway, I'm going to call it a night and get to work. Appreciate everybody joining along. And don't forget, go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Links to all of our social media accounts. Don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And this is the show here, 515-602-9731. Give us a holler. And it's a call-in radio show just for you, truckers. So until next time, you guys stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Just like somebody kicked him, Bubba shot the jukebox that night. Then it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. Bubba shot the jukebox that night. Bubba ain't never been accused of being mentally stable. So we did not draw an easy breath till he laid that Colt on the table. He hung his head till the cops showed up. He dragged him right out of margin. Told him, don't you play dumb with us, son. You know damn well what the charge is. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, just made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. He shot the jukebox last night. When the sheriff arrived with his bathrobe on, the confrontation was a tense one. He shook his head and said, Bubba, boy, you was always a dense one. A reckless discharge of a gun, that's what the officers are claiming. Bubba hollered at a reckless hell, I hit just where I was aiming. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. He shot the jukebox, stopped through it for one shot. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. But he could not tell right from wrong through the teardrops in his eyes. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, it was a justifiable homicide.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneckinize was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckinize.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got to redneckinize.